Stick it in your face, cause it comes from the place you're living. Stick it in your face, cause it comes from the place you're living.
Welcome to Food Talk. I'm Teresa.
And I'm Pat. We're part of North Coast Food Web, working to build healthy communities in our region through local food and agriculture.
Today on Food Talk, we're speaking with Kyleen Austin, who's the co-owner of the new Skamakaway Farmstead Creamery in Skamakaway, Washington. Welcome, Kyleen.
Thank you.
Welcome to the show. It's great to have you here. So tell us, how did you wind up in Skamakaway?
Well, I ended up in Wakayakum County, where Skamakaway exists, to come and visit some friends who live on Puget Island 2 years ago, and to write songs. I'm a singer-songwriter, and I had a cheese company in Northern California, and I was taking a bit of a sabbatical, musical sabbatical, and fell absolutely in love with the island, with Wakayakum County, with the region, and the people that are here. So about a year ago, after touring and contemplating, I decided this is home and moved here last May.
Wow. Did you move here with starting a dairy in mind, or was that kind of a side thing?
I was evaluating the area from the day I set foot on how suitable it would be for a goat dairy and for a cheese company, and it kept coming back, yes, the grasses that grow, especially in Skamakaway. We have the lotus major, which is a legume,
mm-hmm.
and it's sometimes called the poor man's alfalfa, and it's really high in protein, really yummy, and hays up well, and we have a bunch of it growing on our 50 acres. So I've been evaluating things like that since I've been here, and it just keeps coming back that this is the place. And this was prime dairy country
in
the 20th century. Yeah. So
did you buy a place that was a dairy before, or are you starting from scratch? Or?
The dairy is actually, it probably at one time was a small, maybe family dairy. Vicky bought the property. I should mention my partner, Vicky Allen, back, who mm-hmm. is off finishing our architectural design right now for our main plant. And she bought this 7 years ago to be closer to her family. Her parents are in Wakayakum County. And loves animals, absolutely speaks with them and to them. And she wanted to have a multi-layer farm, and at that point in time hadn't thought much about goats and dairying. But when she was in California, she lived next door to a woman who had an artisan goat cheese company, and still does. Mm-hmm. And they were friends, and so the idea occurred to her late last year, maybe I could do a goat dairy here, and mentioned that to a mutual friend who introduced us.
Nice.
And that's when the whirlwind began.
Oh, that sounds great.
How did you get interested in goats? I mean, is this something that you grew up doing, or was it something that you came to later in life? I mean, goats are awesome and beautiful and wonderful animals, and I adore them. Although as a produce farmer and flower farmer, I'm not so excited about them on my property per se, but I love them. I'm just curious, I mean, how did you start doing what you're doing?
I have always loved goats. And everywhere I've traveled, I've looked through my photo books, and there are pictures of goats. So I met a man who had a small hobby farm, and made a friend who was a cheesemaker. And between them, I developed a love for cheesemaking and goat husbandry. They're fun. Goats are so much fun. And they're lively, and they have great personalities. And they have so many benefits. They're very clean. You don't have to worry about shaving them. And they have clean elimination, shall we say, in comparison with a cow.
Yeah.
they have a lower footprint. They don't punch holes in the island in the wintertime. And that's where I developed the love, was just being around them a little while, and I was hooked.
And the cheese making, how did you come to that? I mean, so you learned cheese making from a cheesemaker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she, my friend Connie Millman, who's passed away from breast cancer, just basically showed me in her kitchen how to make cheese. Because you have dairy goats, you have milk, you milk, what do you do with it? And she showed me how to make Chev, and then got Ricky Carroll's book from New England Cheesemaking mm-hmm. Supply, The Cheese Queen,
yeah.
Who has done so much for artisan cheesemaking and small-time cheesemakers around the world, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And her recipes are easy to follow, and so I just perfected recipes that worked there in Northern California, and both for hard cheeses and fresh cheeses and short-aged and long-aged.
So what kind of cheeses can we look forward to here?
We will have fresh cheese in the form of Chev and ricotta. And we'll have short-aged cheese in the form of a mold-ripened Boucheron, which is a little like a camembert. It's a good stenchiness to it. And as well as feta. And then we will offer aged cheeses in the form of Gouda. I have Dutch heritage and perfected a really good Gouda recipe.
Awesome. I can't wait to taste that.
And then an Italian farmer's, which is akin to a parm.
Mm-hmm.
And then a tome, which is the funnest part for me, because a tome is a cheese that is just the cultures that exist in the milk and the air and the water of the place you're making it. So I have a tome that'll be ready to core into in 4 more days. It's the first one. And it's smelling thus far a bit like a Swiss or an Emmentaler.
Mm.
So I think it might have that.
So when you say short-aged or long-aged, what kind of time are you talking about?
Short-aged is typically 30 days, or it's less than 60 days. And then aged means 60 days or more, and you can have long-aged. And then fresh would be you make it, you eat it.
Like a ricotta.
And a chèvre.
Yeah.
Or a fromage blanc.
Yeah.
Mm. Is it? Have you worked with any other kinds of milk or just goat milk? I mean, I'm just wondering about the differences between like sheep, because I know cheese, sheep's milk, goat's milk, cow milk. What are the differences, do you think?
I have had the opportunity to work with cow milk
mm-hmm.
In the last couple of years, and tried my recipes with that, knowing though with the way goat milk is made, you use different temperatures and sometimes time to set the culture and whatnot. And so I did do the appropriate temperatures for cow. And gotta tell you, goat's rule.
How is it different? I mean, is it
the goat milk, I think, just has more complexity in the flavor. In some cases it's sweeter.
Mm-hmm.
Because the goats that I had in Northern California were primarily browsers. They got chaparral, and they got a whole sort of conifers. We had a mixed conifer property. They didn't have a grassy flavor to their milk.
Mm-hmm.
And I suspect here the more goats that we run on the Lotus Major, the grassier that will be. Right now it's not a real grassy kind of milk. It's mild, it's sweet, but with a little nuttiness, especially in the aged cheeses. Mm. So a cow is milder, and especially with the feta, it just leaves me flat compared to goat. Mm. And originally feta was made with sheep or goat milk.
Yeah, I think I'm more familiar with it from a sheep's milk.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
But is it similar to that at all? I mean, with the tang that you get in feta?
Yes, it's similar to sheep. I think sheep has a brighter flavor, kind of a mm-hmm. more tart, yeah, mm-hmm. or tang. I think there's actually more of that with sheep's milk.
And how soon will you have cheese available?
We'll have fresh cheese available the day we have our plant license.
Which is looking like maybe...
less than a month.
Awesome. That's
great. Wow. What has that process been like to get...
Since I've done it before, there's been nothing unexpected except I will say the environment of the state of Washington dairy division is incredible. We want to see how you can make this work. We are your partner in helping you to make this venture happen.
Wow.
Which is, I have to say, a different atmosphere than I had in California. And so that has been just fabulous. The whole process has just been like meant to happen. And people just show up and say, I have this skill. I want to be part of this. How can I help?
Oh, that's wonderful.
And that has just pervaded. It's been fun, but the biggest difference is it's been about 10 times faster.
Do you think that's because you know what you're doing? Mm-hmm. Maybe you've been through this process before, so you know what to expect.
And because I have a business partner who is even more impatient than I am, and just as talented, but in other areas like building.
That's exciting. That's always very helpful. So I just want to take a short station break here and let people know that you're listening to Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM, and KTCB Tillamook 89.5. And we're also streaming live at coastradio.org. And if you're just joining us, we are speaking with Kylene Austin. She is the co-owner of the new Skamakaway Farmstead Creamery in Skamakaway, Washington, where they are producing goat cheese. Soon to be available to the public. And I can't tell you how excited I am about this. I think cheese making, it's crazy to live in an area where there's such a history of dairy production and so little artisan cheese going on. And I know that there's a lot of complications. It's very expensive to set up cheese rooms and all that kind of processing. And maybe that's more for cow milk dairies. I don't know. But it seems complicated. And there's a lot of, you know, regulations about it. But it sounds like you've really managed to weather that. And and you mentioned too that, so you're going to be open at your farm for people to stop by and purchase cheese there.
Yes. We are located at 1681 West State Route 4.
Uh-huh.
And we are right there off the highway, and we will be open to the public once we're open, once we're live.
Yeah, so don't stop by yet.
Unless you want to come help. We always have stalls to muck out.
I'm sure. How many goats do you have?
Right now we have 7 adults and 5 kids. And in a week, we are getting another 16 yearlings, which are one-year-olds. Mm-hmm. Who are pregnant and will come on to the line, the milk line, in July, or by July. And then in another week, we will get 9 more adult goats in milk.
Wow.
With their kids, though, so we can phase things in.
Yeah.
And we're getting equipment in, we're getting pasteurizers in, and cooling tanks next Friday.
Wow.
So simultaneously, we are, I am playing with recipes and we're building and taking care of these existing goats, and it's working out.
So you mentioned your store that will be opening soon. What kind of hours are you going to have there?
We're looking at probably a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday kind of.
Nice.
Kind of hours. We don't want to have them firm yet, sure. But people can call.
Nice.
It's okay to call soon, and we'll have the hours on the recording if we're not there.
Do you have a website or anything like that yet, or phone numbers?
We don't have a website yet. We have a Facebook site, Skamakaway Farmstead Creamery on Facebook. And okay, so you know, I'm a musician, and I did my Facebook site for my music, and. I think it took 9 months before I had my 100th like.
Yeah.
So we had a friend put up, because we were so busy, she set up our Facebook page for us. And within 2 hours, we had 118 likes.
People are excited about cheese.
And we're not even open yet.
You know, this is like the holy grail of local food out here. People who do cheese out here, and it drives us crazy.
Yeah, and so that was the other thing I saw when I got here.
That you're doing. Yeah, there's nobody else doing cheese.
It's just like, we got to have cheese. I want to make cheese here.
So one of the things that happens out here, because there are people that love food so much and you can't find really good things oftentimes in the store, people like to do a lot of do-it-yourself. And so people are making all kinds of interesting things and even experimenting with cheese. So maybe you could share some tips for the do-it-yourselfers on making something at home.
My first tip would be to start with something simple and that uses ingredients you might already have in your house, so you don't get intimidated by having to go out and buy stuff in order to make this or get a kit or something like that. So if you have milk of whatever kind, goat, cow, sheep, those are the only three I can speak to. If you have apple cider vinegar, baking soda, and butter, you can make ricotta. You just heat up the milk to 190 degrees if it's goat milk. It gets 185 if it's cow. You can look, you can Google that. you add the apple cider vinegar to the milk at that temperature. Gently stir it, and like magic, the curds and the whey will separate, because the vinegar serves as an acid to make them. It takes the acid level to where they separate right there.
What does that look like when they separate? I mean, is there a more solid dropping down, or?
Yeah, it looks almost like floating small curd cottage cheese.
Okay.
It's like if you took the cottage cheese and just broke all the pieces apart and they were really small. That's what it starts to look like. And then it starts to get a little bit of a mass body to it. So it's like a ball as you're stirring it. And it doesn't take long. It takes just a few minutes. Mm-hmm. And then when you're done with that, you just strain it through a cheesecloth, through a strainer. Coffee filter might work. And then after you strain it, you place it into a bowl. And you add the baking soda, which stops the acidification. And then you add butter because it makes it nice and creamy.
Butter makes everything
and
better.
And voila, right? You have ricotta.
So is the butter melted? Is it?
Yes.
So you melt the butter first, yeah. And you stir it in. Yeah. And then does it set more firmly from that? Or is it kind of a more runny?
It's pretty firm, and it gets firmer as when you first have it, especially when it's warm, it's creamy and it's
it sounds soupy. So awesome.
Yeah, it's really good. And then as it cools, it gets firmer. And one of my favorite ways to eat it is in the morning with, just to eat it out of the container, basically, for breakfast. But sometimes I have a little honey and some kind of dried fig on it. It's really good.
That sounds
for
delicious.
Breakfast.
That sounds awesome. So what's the breed of goat that you are raising?
We have two. Right now we have two breeds, Saanen, which are Swiss. They're the all-white goats that have upright ears, okay. And they're full size. And we have French Alpine, which are, they're kind of a patchwork, look, you know, black and white and all different colors and patterns, and also with upright ears and full size. Mm-hmm. The goats that we are getting from southeastern Washington, Benton City, are mostly at French Alpine, a couple of Saanen, and we are going to introduce La Manchas, which are the best all-around goat, but they have no ears.
They have no ears?
No, they have no ears. Well, they have ear holes, but they don't have ears. That's the breed. And that is a dominant genetic trait.
That's
so
weird.
Like when you breed them with a regular goat, you get Yoda ears. but they are the nicest, best personality. They're great milk goats. They have great production, great personality. They make excellent pack goats. So their offspring that we can't use in the dairy would make good pack goats. So we're going to go for it. And they'll have been bred to Saanen, to Alpine, to other La Manchas. So we're going to have some really interesting ears this next year, this next season.
I'm trying to envision no ears. Is it? Does the water, I mean, how do they keep rain out of their heads?
Well, they have kind of a little bit
it's
of a...
dumb question, I know. Clearly, animals not my strong point, but just, so it's just like a little something there.
It's a little awning that they kind of, a little thing that goes over that they, I try not to look because it's so weird. I look at them and I don't see the ears, and I just have never been able to kind of get beyond that and I have friends that do pack goats, and they will go with nothing but La Manchas because they are just perfect for that. So
I'm curious, coming from California, the weather is very different there than it is here. What kind of challenges has that presented for you?
So far, I haven't had any challenges, but I have studied it and set up things to mitigate things for, like, hoof rot, which we
haven't. Yeah, that seems to be the main issue for animals out here.
Yeah, and we haven't, Knockwood, had any issues with that yet this season. But we also have a whole lot of rock, which is really good for two things, for keeping their feet drier and for filing down their little nails, because that's part of goat husbandry, is hoof care and making sure that they have a nice little pedicure every month.
And the rocks help with that.
So, they help with that.
That's great.
So if the rocks aren't doing that, then you have to trim the hooves.
Oh, we do anyway. The rocks just make us have to trim less, basically.
So giving how many goats a pedicure? How do you give a goat a pedicure?
You get them up on the milk stand, which they love to do. They get their grain, and they munch on their grain while you lift up each hoof, and you clip it, and you file it down smooth, and move on to the next one.
And they don't freak out doing that?
No, you do it from the time that they're old enough to need their hooves trimmed. And first couple of times, they're like, what's going on? And then after that, that's all it takes with a goat, is about two times of doing anything, and they're like, okay, I got it.
And is that because goats would, where they evolved with in much more rocky environments, so they would just be wearing down their hooves, and yet, you know, raising them on grass is not doing that? Because clearly out in nature, people are not, you know, goats are not getting manicures.
No.
Or pedicures.
No. And even I have heard from several people now, like the elk that this season have had a lot of hoof rot. So it happens in all that area of animal. Movement of any kind, if they're out browsing or grazing, they're moving around, they are doing a little bit of wearing. But the rougher the surface, the more it's going to wear it down. But if you ever really look at a deer, if you get a chance to really look at their hooves, they're perfect usually. They are the example that you see in the goat hoof trimming diagrams. They're perfectly together in a little nice little package, and that's what we go for with the goats. And it is because they aren't, what we try to do, one of our biggest philosophy is to mimic nature. And so if we can create the terrain to be enough to work their hooves, but even though we have a really humane setup, it's still not nature.
Yeah.
It's still not how it is in nature. So so then you do have to mitigate, and that's why we trim and try to keep them looking like a wild deer's hoofs look.
I'm so excited that you're doing this here. It just seems like such a wonderful addition to our kind of local food culture that's starting to emerge here down in the Lower Columbia and the North Coast area. It's just really exciting to hear about your work. And
thanks.
We're really looking forward to tasting more of your cheeses. So for now, it's pretty much going to be available directly at your farm, and then maybe later available in other places.
Yeah,
you've already been being courted by several chefs in the area, so I think you'll probably be showing up on the menus of some of our local restaurants.
We hope so. I love it when people take my cheeses and make it into stuff. Put it into stuff. The chèvre on top of tomato basil soup was one of my favorites.
I'm looking forward to that. That sounds really good. So tell people how they can get a hold of you in the meantime. So they can go to your Facebook page.
They can call us.
They can call you. So phone number?
Is 360-795-8700.
And hopefully sometime, maybe within a month or so, you might be open once you get all your certifications.
And our website address will be, it is, there's nothing there right now, but it's skcreamery.com.
skcreamery.com. So I'm so excited about this. I can't even stand it. I love cheese. I have such a cheese weakness. So this is very exciting.
It is exciting. Cheese is a food group at our house, so we'll be looking forward to trying it.
Thank you for having me on, and thank you for being excited.
Well, thanks for moving to our area and starting a goat cheese dairy. I just can't even tell you how excited we are. So it's wonderful. We look forward to seeing more of you and seeing more of your cheeses
thank
in
you.
Our area. I know. So it's hard to imagine that we've spent another half hour on Food Talk, and we want to give a big thank you to our engineer, Marianne Myers.
Thanks, Marianne. And I just wanted to mention, in terms of upcoming events, you look forward to Meet Your Farmer events coming up in April.
We don't have some specific dates yet. But this will be an event where we invite the public to gather and meet up with local farmers and talk about what they're going to be selling.
Talk about cheese.
Hopefully, Helene will be able to make it too, and you can connect and find out about CSAs and upcoming farmers markets and how to access more local food. So we'll be doing some press about that soon. So thank you so much, and thanks for joining us on today's Food Talk, fresh conversations about local food on the North Coast.
And this show will also be available as a podcast at coastradio.org.
Stick it in your face, 'cause it comes from the place you're living. Stick it in your face, 'cause it comes from the place you're living. Yeah.